Appropriate music coming back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're live here at Centennial Sportsplex. It's where the Predators are practicing. Final preseason game tomorrow as the Predators host the Carolina Hurricanes.
All right, let's ask Darren, a huge Star Wars aficionado, what is the name of this song?
We've got a guest on the line.
Yes, I know. I just want to know.
We're not
I just want to know if you know.
Nerdy Star Wars trivia.
Come on.
No, we're not.
Join me.
We can do that after our guest.
Okay. You have until the end of the interview to think about it. I just want to know if he knows.
Our show is presented by Gratian CBD. Gratian CBD, products curated for life. Let's say hello and good morning to Seth Wickersham. He's a senior writer at ESPN, and he is the author of a book that is coming out next week. You've probably already heard the buzz about it. It's Better to Be Feared, and he now joins us. Seth, good morning. How you doing?
Gentlemen, it's great to be with you guys, but I have a question. What is the name of the song? I want to hear the answer.
Okay. That's why I throw it out there. It may not be quite as obvious as you think.
Seth, I'm warning you, if you go down the Star Wars rabbit hole with Willie,
it's easy.
It just gets – the show gets sidetracked. It really does. Willie, you going to answer it?
The Imperial March.
The Imperial March is correct.
Chase, it's, look at you.
And then
ahead.
Sort of maybe in the parentheses, Darth Vader theme. Yeah.
So, okay. Chase, get – all right, look at you. Nice recovery.
Nice job,
You went
Chase.
To Pitbull last night. Now you recovered.
Yeah, now second the brain
segment.
Waves.
It's the second segment.
That's right. It takes a segment.
Yeah,
it takes a segment to get going.
He is ready to go.
Shake off the cobwebs.
So, Seth, there's much anticipation. Of course, we had the big Sunday night game between the Bucks and the Patriots. Tom Brady returning to Foxborough. Huge ratings, huge anticipation. And now you've got this coming out. So I'll just start with the usual stuff. Where was, you know, when did you hatch all this? When did you start thinking about all this? And I've got to be honest, when you think about the subject matter, for a guy that grew up in Kentucky, I think it would be easier to get into Fort Knox than to have enough material to write a book about the Patriots.
Thanks, guys. No, you know, the publisher came to me with the idea, but I had one of my very first stories at ESPN Magazine was in November of 2001 when my bosses sent me to Foxborough, Massachusetts to interview the young quarterback who was filling in decently for Drew Bledsoe and would probably return for the bench to the bench. He'd had a good month, and I went and met Tom Brady at the old stadium. I don't know if you guys remember that. I mean, it was like a high school stadium, and Brady was 24 years old. He was wearing a gray sweatsuit with a backpack that was full of beer because he had lost a bet on the Michigan State game. And, I will never forget, he said in that meeting with us, he said, you know, football has always come easy to me. And the reason why I tell that story is because, I just started covering the Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick around that time. And there are so many moments like that you look back on now and they mean something completely different than they did at the time. At the time, I was a young man, too, and I was just like, who is this guy? Well, who says that? Football's always come really easy to me. But now, of course, you see it, and you see that Tom Brady understood himself better than anybody ever gave him credit for. And so with moments like that and moments that I've reported and other things that I've done as an investigative reporter at ESPN, I just felt like that I could tell a good book about how their greatness was achieved and what the cost of that greatness was.
And let me just say this, Seth. Back in January of 2004, the radio station sent me up to, it was actually Providence is where the Titans team hotel was going to be, and sent me up there for the week to cover the Titans Patriots playoff game.
Was that the one
I
that was
stayed,
so cold? It was like so cold.
Yes. Oh yes, yes, yeah. It was absolutely. I'll never that more the morning of the game. I'll never forget stepping out of the team hotel. Jeff Fisher was walking around downtown in Providence, and it was like 40 below, and I was looking going, what, Jeff, what are you doing? But just so you know, the night before, like all the stories you've heard about the team hotel, you know, the opposition, the fire alarm getting pulled at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's true. I was in the team hotel. The fire alarm did get pulled at 3 a.m. All that stuff you hear is true.
That's awesome.
So, you know, it's stuff like that. That is the intriguing part about the Patriots dynasty, right? They are a lightning rod topic. There's no way you can say anything. You say Tom Brady, you say Bill Belichick, you say the Patriots, anything associated with their dynasty and their two-decade run, basically, people have an opinion one way or the other, whether they are all in on what they've done and their accomplishments, or they, you know, it's the black cloud stuff, right? It's all the cheating, all the negative stuff that anybody could come up with. I think that's what's fascinating about them is all the stories, everything. Everybody's got an opinion. You don't go, ah, Patriots. Ah, I don't really have a thought on them. Is that part of the intrigue of?
Absolutely, and I go deep into those, you know, those scandals for which they were punished for the NFL, and there's one little story in that I'll tell that, you know, always kind of makes me smile because it's revealing of how the NFL works at the very top, and especially among how the best coaches think, and that's 2007, Spygate breaks. And Roger Goodell is trying to educate himself on 7 years of rule breaking in a matter of days. And he's talking to every GM and head coach that he can get on the phone, and they're just crushing Bill. They're just, it's the height of piousness. This guy's a serial cheater. You got to come down on him hard, yada, yada, yada. Then he talks to Mike Shanahan of the Denver Broncos, who at the time, remember, Belichick was the reigning genius, but maybe Mike Shanahan was next in line in that regard. And Mike Shanahan, rather than burying Bill, ends up explaining Bill in a weird way. He says, Roger, I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't think to film signals, and I would have done it in a New York minute because nobody has ever gotten in trouble for them before. You don't know what the punishment is. And having the signals is everything. He said, you know, Peyton Manning is the best at stealing signals. And if you don't change your signals or if they know what the signals are, you are dead. And he said, you cannot come down and say that Bill's a bad guy. He's just better at it than everybody else is. And I thought that was just really revealing about the mindset of the most competitive coaches in the league that, you know, here was Mike Shanahan not responding with that piousness, but instead responding with, like, envy. And honesty.
We're talking to Seth Wickersham. It's Better to Be Feared is the name of the book. We're talking about the dynasty of the Patriots. So, Seth, where do you think the whole mentality of, you know, people will define it in different ways as we discuss, but just trying to find the edge behind the scenes, trying to look into every rule, figure out the thing. Who is the mastermind along with Bill Belichick? Where did it start?
Well, it was Ernie Adams, but, you know, these two men, you know, like, some of the coaches over the years have likened the Patriots to kind of like Enron, right? It's like, you know, you get away with everything until you can't. And, you know, maybe there's some truth to that. I also think that there's, like, an aspect of, you know, you'd want these guys doing your taxes if they were CPAs, because they would find every loophole until they get closed. And I think that, like, they're just... they're both more shrewd and just smarter than everybody else. And, I mean, Bill Belichick has been in the NFL basically since he graduated from college. I think he was 24 years old when he started at the Baltimore Colts. He knows more about the rules and the evolution than the officials do. And so whenever there's a rule or there's a loophole that's filled or whatever it is, he figures out the next evolution to exploit. And you do see at times where people use tricks that he used against him. And one of the examples of that was when the Titans beat the Patriots in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, Mike Vrabel used Belichick's clock-killing trick against him where he was getting those penalties on purpose, knowing that the clock would run. And, man, Bill was upset about that.
He sure was. And that was one we talked about a lot. Was there one breakthrough, Seth, can you go back, maybe even before the spotlight was on this issue, where they figured out, you know what, we have something here. Was there a particular game in the, you know, the early part of Belichick, or even before he was with the Patriots?
Have something here, you mean in terms with knowing Brady?
An example,
yeah,
an example of a loophole. Yeah.
Oh, a loophole. Well, I mean, clearly they were taping signals, and, you know, Bill considered that, you know, not necessarily a rules violation, even though the league warned them to stop three times. But, you know, speaking to the other side of things, and how I heard your question about Brady, I mean, you know, definitely in October of 2001, they played the San Diego Chargers, and they were down 10 points in the fourth quarter. And this was Brady's third start, I think. And Brady ends up rallying them to win in overtime. And that was like the first glimpse that they were like, we really have something special here. Because one of the things I write about with Brady is both how a lot of people spot his greatness early in life. And then a lot of people were unimpressed, as we know. And when he was a rookie with the Patriots, he would stay late and throw in what were called opportunity periods. And he would just throw passes in the dirt. The coaches who would coach offense and defense would actually bet money on whether Brady would complete passes. And the people who bet that he would throw them incomplete more often than not ended up winning those bets. But the one thing they noticed with Brady at the time was just that he was so competitive he couldn't leave the field until he had completed a pass or felt like he was leaving on a good note.
We're talking to Seth Wickersham. He is the author of It's Better to Be Feared, The New England Patriots Dynasty and the Pursuit of Greatness, which is going to be out on October 12th. And I don't think this really surprises anybody when Bill Belichick plays deny, deny, deny. But, you know, he's come out saying he doesn't know who you are. He hasn't talked to you, all those things. Why do you think he continuously goes down that road of, even though everybody knows he's lying, he's standing up at the podium and he's lying about something, but yet he continues to double down and do that?
I don't know. You know, one of the things that you noticed, you know, so I do a lot of investigative work for ESPN, and I've done things on the NFL Sure. and the NFLPA and various teams and the anthem, you know, problems with Trump in the fall of 2017. And one of the things you realize when you do a lot of these investigative reports is that people come out immediately and they deny or they call it fake news or whatever. And then the reports end up getting not only validated over time, but often expanded upon where, you know, often a crisis situation was worse than even you wrote about at the time.
Tom had said that he wanted to say goodbye, and he didn't really get that chance when they went their separate ways. It was reported that after the game on Sunday, they spent about 20 minutes together in the Bucs locker room. If you had to guess, I mean, do you think that any type of hatchet was buried, or is it, you know, people are going to find out, let's just meet, and it's a PR thing?
Well, I don't think it was a PR thing. I think that there were some raw feelings, especially on the Brady side, when the Patriots, you know, opened the door for him to leave in 2019, and following that season, he walked right through it. And, you know, the two people who should have known better than anybody else than to underestimate Brady's ability to play until he was 45 were Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, and yet they did exactly that. That said, I have always said that even if these guys get on each other's nerves or they're stressed or whatever, there's a love there between those two guys. And I think that when they, the fact that it seems like there's some closure or there's, you know, they were finally able to connect in person, I think, you know, nobody knows what was said except for those two, but I think it is important. And when each of them is inducted into the Hall of Fame, I think that they will speak in terms of love for each other when they're up on that stage.
Yeah, and that was gonna be my next.
There's just a bond there over the course of 20 years that even if, you know, like I said, people grade on you or whatever, you know, what they accomplished was really special, obviously.
Yeah, no doubt. And that was going to lead me to my next question because, I mean, we all saw the Belichick-Parcells documentary, and I don't think mm-hmm. it really opened up everything that, you know, you always thought. But do you see down the road, Hall of Fame time, whatever, that – you know, there's going to be a little bit more, and maybe both of them are going to open up a little bit more about the good, the bad, and everything in between?
Well, we'll see. I don't know, you know, that those things are a long way off, but, you know, we'll see. And, you know, I think that the Parcells documentary is a good, you know, template where, you know, time and clarity and the ability to achieve things on your own ends up helping you appreciate kind of where it all came from more.
Last thing, Seth, because mm-hmm. of this run in Tampa, because, look, we sat here in this market talking about Tom Brady coming to Nashville and being the next Titans quarterback. Obviously, he went to Tampa, and he won a Super Bowl, and who knows if they do it again. I don't even know if he has to do it again. But we've had this long debate on Sports Talk Radio and basically any platform that discusses sports. You know, who was responsible for the dynasty? Was it Tom Brady? Was it Bill Belichick? Or was it literally just the perfect marriage? I feel like, and I want to hear your opinion, that because Tom Brady, since he left and went off and did what he did in Tampa, and the Patriots don't look like a playoff team this year, weren't a playoff team last year, is this going to affect, you think, Bill Belichick's legacy or how we feel about that dynasty run, on who was more responsible for the success?
I don't know, but, you know, obviously, you know, the Patriots won the lottery with Tom Brady, and also Bill Belichick developed the hell out of him. I mean, he coached him incredibly well and helped him become the player that he is. And I think that as much as we talk about the differences between Bill and Tom, they have some things that are in common. And one of them, I think it sounds normal, but it's really rare, and that's that, like, nobody has ever believed in the power and the promise of, like, the next play and the next set of downs like these two guys. I mean, you see it playing out on international stages where no matter what's happened in the game, they can focus on what's in front of them better than anyone. 28-3 against the Falcons, you know, 24-14 down against the Seahawks. All of the great goal line stands that Belichick's defenses have engineered over the years, going back to 1986 in the Super Bowl against the Broncos. I mean, these guys refuse to concede an inch to anyone else's idea of what's inevitable. And I think that, like, even as we discuss the differences between the two guys, that's one of the themes in the book that I think is really unique. And I think that when people try to study for what makes them great, that's one of the reoccurring themes in it.
Really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this. Best of luck with everything. We know it comes out on Tuesday. A lot of hype around it. Thanks for doing this, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Seth Wickersham, the author, It's Better to Be Feared, The New England Patriots Dynasty and the Pursuit of Greatness. It comes out on Tuesday. We'll come back. More coverage here from Centennial Sportsplex here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.